We're going to look again at Psalm 51 as we confess our sins this morning. And we're reading Psalm 51, verses 5 through 9. Hear now the word of God. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts and in the hidden part. You will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. This is God's word. Well, we've learned much about the biblical pattern of confession of sin and repentance from this psalm, and there's still many treasures for us to discover in this psalm as we learn about these things. And today we look at verse 7 of the psalm, and David in verse 7 asks God. He says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." David is praying for a cleansing work of God to take place. He recognizes in this that sin defiles. Sin makes dirty. Sin makes us unholy, and we cannot come to a holy God with garments that are defiled by sin. He needs God to cleanse him, and he also recognizes, of course, that he can't cleanse himself. He needs God to do that cleansing work. He has no power to do this cleansing work himself. He says, "Lord, you purge me with hyssop. You wash me." Now, this picture of the hyssop branch and this picture of washing is drawn from the cleansing rites of the Old Testament. And there were a number of different cleansing rites that took place for different situations. And I could read a number of different background passages, but I just want to read to you from Leviticus 14, which is the ceremonial cleansing rite that was used for lepers. Lepers, of course, were those that had become sick with leprosy, and they were to be put outside the camp, and they would be brought back after the priest examined them to make sure they had been healed, first of all. And after they had identified that they had been healed, they would cleanse them with water and with the hyssop branch, amongst other things, in order to reintroduce them into the camp. So hyssop was a spongy plant that grew in crevices, often on walls, and because of its shape and texture, it made a very good brush. And so the hyssop branch would be dipped in blood, and then the blood would be wiped upon the person, and then they would be washed. So here's Leviticus 14, 1 through 7, with the cleansing of the leper. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed two living and clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and dip them, and the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field." So we can't go through all the details of this rite, but this may be part of the background of what David has in mind. Now, in the Old Testament, it was the priest who did this work. He would do this ceremony in order to reintroduce the leper into the camp. But in the psalm, David says, "You, Lord, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean." He's going beyond just this ceremonial rite to understand that the Lord must do this cleansing work for him to be cleansed wholly of his sin. Now, the fact that the hyssop branch was to be dipped in the blood obviously points us to that New Testament picture of Christ's blood, which cleanses us from all sin. It is the blood of Jesus Christ, the sprinkling of the blood of Christ, as 1 Peter 1 says, that cleanses us. And it is a blood that cleanses perfectly. This Old Testament rite that was used of the hyssop was just a ceremonial picture. It was a picture for God's people to see that they needed to be cleansed. But the blood of Christ is far, far greater than any blood that was used in the Old Testament. And it reminds me of the picture we're given in Revelation 7, when John sees those that had been cleansed by the blood of Christ. Revelation 7, John describes it, verse 13. One of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." And so these people that had been redeemed and they were now in glory, they are the ones that had come through the great tribulation. And it says that they had these white robes, robes as white as snow, that had been cleansed in the blood of the Lamb. Now, we know that this picture of robes is helpful for us in understanding defilement. We know that there's a great many situations where if our clothes are dirty, it is a very awkward situation to be in. It's difficult to imagine going to a job interview and there's tomato sauce all over your shirt. It would just be a distraction for the man interviewing you, of course. And you'd feel awkward. You'd feel out of place. But the defilement of sin is like that, except it's a much more serious thing than a job interview. It is a deadly serious thing that we are defiled by sin. We have these clothes and they have been muddied by sin. Some muddied more than others, but all of us are muddied by sin. The Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all need cleansing. And so we have these dirty clothes, and sometimes this creates a sense of guilt, as it should. If we should feel guilty because of our sin, but it also produces a sense of shame. We feel ashamed of our sins, whether they're sins of the past or sins of the present, and we wonder, how do we deal with this? How are we going to receive this cleansing? We've all gotten our clothes dirty, but what Revelation 7 says is if you come to Jesus Christ by faith, your dirty clothes will be washed with bleach, unlike anything else in this world. It will be this cleansing blood, the blood of Christ that cleanses from all sin, as 1 John 1 says. And this is a paradox to us because we know of no other human blood in the world that can make garments white. But the blood of Christ can make us whiter than snow. As the hymn, "There is a fountain," says, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." There's that fountain of Christ's blood, and it is available for sinners to come by faith and to be wholly purged of all defilement, wholly made clean. And so, brothers and sisters, in this time of confession, let us bring dirty clothes to the cleaners. Let us bring the dirty clothes and let that blood of Christ wash over it and cleanse us again. There are many escape routes that people try to deal with when it comes to the defilement of sin. Some people just deny it and say, you know, it's not that bad. It's not that dirty. God will surely accept me the way I am. But those that say this have not come face to face with the holiness of God and the demands of His law. They do not understand holiness. They do not understand God's law. And they will have to come to the day of judgment and answer for their sins. Some people try to atone for their own sins. They try to stack up good deeds, hoping that their good deeds will be a legal tender before God and will pay for that which they have done on the day of judgment. But it will not be so. Some people try to ignore the problem. They just distract themselves from the defilement of sin. They just divert and escape. And they just ignore the problem of guilt as long as they can. But brothers and sisters, we don't have to do those escape routes. We don't have to run away from the problem. We don't have to atone for our own sins. We do not have to cleanse our own clothes. There is the blood of Christ that cleanses from all sin. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, for the whole world. David says, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." And so we take those words and we adapt them and we say, "Purge me with the blood of Christ and I shall be clean. Wash me in His blood, and I shall be whiter than snow. And so, brothers and sisters, let's come to that fountain filled with blood, and let's receive His cleansing once again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the abundance of Your mercy and Your great love in giving us Your only Son to die for our sins, to rise again to new life so that we could be saved from the defilement of our sins. And we confess that we have been dirtied by these things. And we are thankful that by faith, the robe of righteousness that is Christ's righteousness is ours. And we confess that we have still sinned against You. We have sinned against You this very week. And so we come in confidence in light of 1 John, knowing that if we confess our sins, You're faithful and just to forgive us all sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We pray that You would cleanse us once again. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.